Turned On with Sue and John is brought to you by Eden Fantasies. Ready for a little undercover fun? With Connection, you are always on a secret spy mission for the most intense orgasm that will not be detected by anyone. This is more than a vibrator. It's your partner in crime for a sneaky escapade or a third accomplice when you're doing the nasty with your partner. Get yours at EdenFantasies.com/turned on or click their banner at TurnedOnPodcast.com.
This is the podcast for passionate, sex-positive, and pervy people. Entertaining and informative discussions about the latest in sex and sexuality. From ethical non-monogamy to kink to dating and romance and everything in between. She is legendary syndicated talk show host and sex therapist Sue McGarvey. He is notoriously naughty international radio host John the Milkman Milky. This is Turned On with Sue and John.
We hope it's the highlight of your week. Welcome to another edition of Turned On with Sue and John. I am the notoriously naughty broadcast bad boy known as John the Milkman Milky, and she is a perfect angel, of course, known as Sue McGarvey.
I was just talking about how I can never be prime minister because there's a full frontal nudity picture of me in an international nudist magazine on the cover.
Oh, yeah.
But you're in there in your full pineapple regalia. Hold up your mug for everybody who's watching this on YouTube. There it is. The pineapple shirt.
Finally got the studio all cozied up and looking a lot more elegant. I'm very, very proud of it.
Good. It looks fabulous, babe.
And I went to the discount menswear shop the other day and found a shirt that had pineapples on it. So I may be overcompensating. People are probably watching this going, okay, dude, back it off a little bit.
No, I think you look fabulous.
All right. Thank you, Sue McGarvey. Hey, first up, you had your Pervy Book Club recently, and you had a question from some of the girls at the Pervy Book Club. Question about changes in desire.
Oh, man. And shout out to my Pervy Book Club. Love those girls. Anyway, and you know, Jean, who joins us. They are holding, anyways, a long story, but they have a farm and they have our duck. I needed a duckling. I got a duckling and got a home for a duckling because I wasn't allowed to keep it in the backyard. And it's a year in and we're still trying to figure out if it's Benedict Cumber Duck or Dolly Parton Duck. We're still not sure of the sex. Anybody know how to sex a duck? Please write me at sue@sexwithsue.com. They were fabulous. We had a whole discussion of the bad book we read for this month called Clarissa is Calling, Don't Bother. But we're reading this month The Wall Banger, about the hot neighbor banging on the wall. Anyway, one of them was saying, Sue, I'm still a few years from menopause, really, and I have a very hot sex life. And I do not want it to go sideways with menopause. What's the story? Well, we all waited in. I went from wanting sex 14 times a day to wanting it what I would consider more than a normal amount, you know, daily's good or four times a week. But there's definitely been a difference. You know, you used to touch me and I was good to go, like anywhere, anytime. And now I'm certainly matured and not quite as interested. Somebody else said, nope, it went into the deep freeze for 4 years. And then all of a sudden the tidal wave has come back and I am looking to be cougaring. Somebody else said, no, it's actually improved. She said, I felt like a teenage boy. And she said, it's been, you know, hot and heavy the whole time. So there isn't, just so you know, there is no one size fits all when it comes to libido and menopause. If you're approaching it and you're freaking out, you may not need to, but you all need to look at lubricant. I was just talking to the CEO of Desert Harvest about the kind of lubricant they're using is seaweed, right? Super slippery seaweed. They have an intervaginal lubricant that sort of goes into the cells and you are going to be squishy, good to go anytime. And I'm going to see if I can get some samples we can give out. So again, send me questions. I have samples. Sue@sexwithsue.com.
Turned On with Sue and John.
Time now for this week's edition of the Naughty News.
Do, 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 do. Turns out there's a link between pubic hair and STIs, my friend. The downside of grooming those crazy bushes is you have an increased risk for two types of STIs. It doesn't affect herpes, but your gonorrhea and chlamydia goes way up, according to a Texas scholar. So those who regularly shave there are more likely to tear their skin, little nicks, mm-hmm. making it easier for viruses to enter the body. So, you know, grooming is good. Too much grooming. Just make sure you know who you're grooming it against.
Naughty news. A former sex worker turned influencer has started a series about her exploits in Utah's Salt Lake City. The retired prostitute, who goes by Sarah Isn't Sober online, took to TikTok Thursday to ponder this period of her life during which she admittedly ruined a couple of Christmases. Most of her clients, she said, were men in positions of authority in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Do, 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 do.
Your naughty news.
Uh-huh. There is a study out this week that says 10% of people in the U.S. are having sex with people of both genders. They didn't talk about, you know, the spectrum of genders. They talked about both genders. But it's been a longitudinal study not ever done before. And 10%. So they talk about 10% being gay. You know, I'm thinking 10% swinging and another 10% being bi. Like, don't, whatever your kink is, don't worry about it, because the world's your oyster. Yeah. At least that's a large number of people who are banging anybody and everybody.
BDSM orgies at Russians' officers' clubs have Vladimir Putin very upset. These are, of course, places where the military are supposed to hang out and, I don't know, play cards, whatever you do in Russia, drink some vodka. No, they are BDSM parties happening in there, and the whole thing has been filmed and put online. Putin not happy with BDSM parties in the officer's mess.
That's funny.
Shocking, right?
Oops. Well, speaking of men behaving badly, Trent University, which is down the road from where we are, did a study about men who want to have sex with sex robots.
Oh,
I know. Okay. Lots of people think they're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. But no, there's a whole group of men that are like really interested in sex with robots. And this is not the inflatable doll to get you, you know, in the lane that you can have three people in your car. These are the ones with the realistic vaginas. Turns out these guys are bits of misogynists, and they turned out to be boorish and not very interesting. So I know it's a big surprise, but they really, that's what the study said. It was like, boorish men like sex robots. Just saying.
And that is this week's Naughty News.
Do, 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 do.
Turned On with Sue and John. Available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and BlastTheRadio.com.
We've all heard the song I Can't Feel My Face by The Weeknd. Well, guess what? New toys are now causing women to lose the feelings in their faces.
It's called the Tenera, T-E-N-E-R-A 2. Okay. It is a clit suction stimulator. And I checked in with our friends at Eden Fantasies. Oh, and I sent you that list of crazy things that they're getting on their customer service. I get to talk to their customer service
questions
people.
Questions that people are asking their customer service reps? Yeah, yeah.
I know, right? They're so lovely. God, they're lovely. They're so earnest and European and trying really hard to be the best, you know, company on the market. Anyway, I was reading separately.
Can I just add, oh my God, their prices on stuff are fantastic.
They are.
I may have placed an order recently. I was so impressed.
Yes, they are amazing. The Tenera 2 clit suction stimulators apparently are so powerful. Women said, I lost the feeling in my face. And that wasn't just one. It was like, oh my God, that orgasm, right? And there's this sort of link that people think that, you know, masturbation orgasms are not as good. But you know what? Sex with yourself is like your long-term play. Like, it's your thing. So, yeah. And it turns out that the intensity of the orgasms from masturbation, especially with some kind of toy, are going to be the best of your young life. So don't worry about it, but they've dropped their price. You know, you can get them, you know, you should be getting them about, you know, anywhere from like $125 to $160 for these things. And like, apparently if you've got a birthday coming up, you may want to consider this, because I'm thinking I need to get one. I want to lose the feeling in my face. I have a lot of toys. Like, I have a lot of toys. I actually sold 7 boxes of them at the Kiki Garage sale. And these are all samples.
I was going to say, these are redundant ones already.
Those were redundant ones. Yes. Not ones that had been used. They were still in the box because they'll often send me 2.
Okay.
And I try one and either give one away. But we raise money for the food bank doing that. But I have a lot of toys. And the ones I don't like, I'm like, meh. But these ones, oh my God. So I can't wait to try it. That's what's new in toys this week. So the Tanira. You may want to give it a shot if your old faithful has finally given up the ghost.
Turned on.
Next up, Angelina Jolie and the best sex of her life.
Oh, yes. So I don't know if you saw this story. She said the best sex of her life was with Denzel Washington. And I'm like, duh, he was been on my list forever. Like, come on, who doesn't want to do Denzel? It turns out they didn't actually have sex.
What?
So it was, yeah, I know. This is where it gets a little off because it's Angelina, right? So The Bone Collector was a movie that they did together in 1999. And she was the crazy, you know, FBI agent and he was the cop, but he was a quadriplegic. And they did some sex scenes on camera where he's a quadriplegic and they are just doing all of these intimacies, buildups, touch, you know, the hand touch. You know that scene from the piano where there's a rip in her glove and he just, I still remember it. I don't know if you remember it. And he's just stroking the hole in her glove on her hand.
Right.
It was, you know, just one of those. Apparently she said, Angelina said, I have never been so turned on in my entire life because Denzel's playing this intellectual and it's the foreplay. And it coincides with this new article that says sex begins in the kitchen and about taking time for intimacy and that buildup of sensuality. And I figure if Angelina and Denzel are saying this, then there must be something to it. Because although, my thoughts with Denzel are not just touching his hand. So, you know, we only want to do this with Angelina, but she's saying the best sex. So I think it may be that movie maybe on my, came out in 1999, not really well, reviewed, but the sex scenes apparently were over the top and the outside, apparently they never got it on, but outside of that back room kind of filming may have needed to clear the set.
That would be, pretty steamy, pretty hot because, yeah, you get as close to the real thing as you can, but you also know, not unlike a BDSM scenario kind of thing, you know, it can only go so far. There's typically no sex, no happy ending involved. So that would just amplify the feelings and the excitement. I would think, here's this person I fantasized about. Oh my God, I get to, sit on him and, grind and all that.
And he can't move. And he can't move. OMFG. I was just like reading this going, oh, I need to talk about this. I can't be the only woman who's thinking this way. So Angelina and Denzel, man, I am like, and she's done some legendary, married to Brad Pitt, for God's sakes. Uh-huh. No, apparently Denzel's the boy.
I will look for the streaming ratings this time next week and see if Turned On the Podcast didn't help that one go all the way to number one out of nowhere.
More of Turned On with Sue and John coming up.
So your friends at Eden Fantasies had asked you to help their customer service people answer questions when people call, wondering what to order, etc. And one of the questions that we're going to tackle this week has to do with how to set up a basic BDSM playroom, dungeon, if you will.
Right. I love when I go, every time I hate going to the hardware store. I'm not a hardware store kind of girl. I immediately find, guy in the orange vest or, where you pick up men and I'll look for the hottest guy and say, come help me. I tell you that story about Preston Hardware. I need to buy some rope and I'm in my little pink dress with my high heel shoes and trying to feel for this texture of the rope. You get it.
You know they know, right?
Of course they know. And I played it up in a big way. So... what I don't like it, but I love the clamps and the drop sheets. And I immediately in my head thinking, oh, this, how could the, how, you know, what are the prices? What could you do? Could you come up with a cheap, inexpensive BDSM, but you can't get the equipment. You have to go to our friends at Eden Fantasies. So what would you suggest if you had that besides the stuff you get at the hardware store?
Okay. So my starter kit was something that was transportable. Of course, you got to put it away because, you know, the in-laws can come for a visit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But for starters, you need a way to tie somebody up. And I'm talking about tying somebody standing up. We've all seen the St. Andrew's cross. That's a big, heavy piece of equipment, but there are really easy alternatives. They've actually got some things. The only way to describe them would be like a dowel, okay, that goes on the other side of your door, so over your door and then under your door with a dowel. There's a strap on it, and then, yes, your hardware store would have like a carabiner, and so when you close the door, guess what? You've got 4 points of attachment, very, very simply. So obviously you're going to need some ankle and wrist cuffs for that, but that's a very, very easy and simple introductory way to tie somebody up. A massage table is actually been my go-to. Yes, the massage table that is readily available, again, at like
your local, Costco like sells
Walmart,
them.
Walmart, Target, etc. would have them. Yeah. And then off to the hardware store you go for some very basic. I found them in the section that's for boat supplies. You know those little round hooks that go on a dock and they pop up from the dock and then you can tie things like your boat to them?
Mm-hmm.
A couple of those strategically placed on a massage table and you now have a bondage bed. So that's an easy way to get into there. Blindfolds, you can start with something very, very basic. And, of course, you can get up to Eden Fantasies can help you with this as well. They would come in vinyl. They would come in leather, full mask, zip hoods, eyes open or eyes closed, maybe a blindfold that goes over that. Some of them even include built-in ball gags, etc. So you can start with very basic things like your basic ball gag, move up to different sizes, different textures. Some are made of, you know, very basic materials. Others are really, you know, high-end leather and heavy duty. But at an entry level, you can certainly find your way into those.
And or do what 50 Shades of Grey do and get a men's silk tie and tie it over your, yeah.
I mean, yes, panties have been used as gags, of course, too. You know, you can put just a little simple rope, as you mentioned before, you know, and that's enough. Or duct tape, etc. Just beware if you're going to shove something in somebody's mouth, make sure that you are keeping an eye on them so that they don't swallow them. But some very, very basic elements to start your dungeon off. And from there, you're basically building based on your needs and the experiences between you and your partner. If you like sensation play, you can get things like those little spiky wheels, the warning wheel.
Yeah, you can get them at the fabric store. Yes.
Absolutely. Oh, listen, I picked up a meat cleaver at Canadian Tire. And it's just, you know, for some very heavy duty BDSM play, I had a sub once who really was a pain slot. And it had those little pointy ends on one side, you know, when you're like pounding out, you know, veal or whatever else.
Oh, it's not a cleaver. It's a poundy cleaver. I'm thinking a knife. No, it's like a hammer with points on it.
Yeah. And they have them in wood as well. So
the tenderizer. That's what it is. It's a tenderizer.
Thank you. Yeah. So you can get really creative fairly affordably at even like your dollar store. Keep your eyes open. Listen, clothespins. I'll let your imagination go wild with that.
But you're an evil, evil man.
You have no idea.
Turned On with Sue and John.
Well, Sue, I got in trouble with our listeners last week. I didn't tell you this.
You?
But yeah, no.
You didn't tell me.
I got an email from a very upset listener. I guess for the longest time on Kinky Confessions, I have brought it in by saying, get on your knees. Last week, I, for some reason, thought, that's getting to be a little cliche, perhaps a little tired. So I don't remember how I introed it, but I did not intro it by telling her to get on her knees, and she's very disappointed. So, listener, you know who you are. Get on your knees. Get.
And if you're watching it on YouTube, you get to see John with his crop, me with my mouth open. I didn't just say that. Yeah, smack, 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 smack. Naughty, naughty John. Okay.
I love this segment. Yeah, I love this segment because our listeners get to come clean with us. So if you've got something that you fantasize about, something you've done, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and you just you can't tell anybody, well, you can tell us, and you can do so with 100% anonymity. There's no phone number, no email, nothing that identifies you. It's just a blank space on our website, turnedonpodcast.com, and you can enter your confession. All right, gaping is my confession, this person writes. I had a girlfriend a few years ago who used a strap-on dildo on me often. Now I'm working my way up to the various sizes of alien and monster cock dildos that are out there. My confession, love the podcast. Those are so, so freaky. I love them.
I think they terrify me. I think I'm built in an average way, but holy shit, how do you get some of that stuff up there? It's like sitting on one of those fire extinguishers. They're crazy.
I mean, initially I would walk into a place and, you know, they look like a butt plug. They have that sort of Christmas tree, you know, tapered.
Well, some
of
them are butt plugs, right?
Right, yeah. But they're massive, just like you described. They're like a pylon. You sort of think, how do they do that? But it's a real thing. Ass and the JJ as well. These monster and alien cocks and bad dragons and... Well, I've got one here that's been on the show before. It's massive. I ordered it without realizing just how big it was. I can't do that. Come on, crazy. But I feel you. And thank you for your kinky confession. We have another one here. This person says, I've discovered my new kink. We went to a sex club in Vegas. Yeah, you did. And had an 8-person orgy. We went into a room called the Fishbowl. We were in the room for about an hour. Everyone is switching like we were all on a timer. When all of a sudden I looked up and there were about 80 people outside the room watching us through a giant window. I had failed to notice due to the lack of blood in my head. I got so turned on that I had to put on a show with the lady I was with. I had her in doggy style facing the window, putting on a show. Now I love the idea of being watched anytime I can. Luckily, my wife also enjoys putting on a show.
Woo! Well, I'm going to Vegas with my besties. We have a group that we always go away Labor Day weekend. And this year we've said, okay, Vegas, baby, if I can find a flight for under $1,600. But yeah. That's, you know, like, we're going to do it, going to have the whole thing. So maybe the sex club needs to be on our agenda if we're planning activities. So we'll let you know. Ooh,
I'm glad this listener had a better time in Vegas than I did. First time we went to a swingers club was Vegas, and it really let us down. I'd be curious to know what club you were at. Just saying. TurnedOnPodcast.com, your kinky confessions, and stay on your knees until I tell you otherwise. Good girl.
Turned On with Sue and John.
Gosh, we have fun on this podcast. Next up, Sue, boosting work performance through pleasure.
There's a new study that's talking about, and it's a landmark study. This has not been done. They talked about, well, we know that, you know, sex releases your stress levels and it's good for your health. Well, apparently it leads to increased job satisfaction. So just like they have those, you know, those daycares at work, and they used to have like pinball machines and all the IT companies to deal with it. They'd have like company sponsored massage therapists. Well, now they're supposed to be encouraging people to go home for a noontime nookie because stressful jobs, it activates the brain sensors. It emphasizes sexual pleasure as an increase and helps you think clearly and better. It's part of a broader stress management program, and it's absolutely imperative for good health. So I see in the future, you know, really enlightened employers having sex rooms, just like Putin is in his,
yeah, well.
You know, with the Russian guys in the Russian army, you know, they're just deciding to have orgies in those tents. But, you know, you never know what's going to happen in terms of, because it really significantly, apparently, increases work performance. Go figure.
Turned On with Sue and John. Available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and BlastTheRadio.com.
So, you're a swinger.
Uh-huh. So we have lots of new ideas, but what came out is the bare necessities cruise that happened this past week. And when I was at Cypress Cove, which is a nudist resort in Florida, they used to have people come in and they'd get a big bus and they'd go from Central Florida out to the coast of Canaveral, and everybody'd get on the boat and they'd all take off their clothes because Cypress Cove was a nudist place and all of these people would come in. It's about $2,500 US per person to be on one of these cruises. And this year, I guess they had a problem because a lot of people didn't understand that they were nude and they were lifestyle. So right. Lifestyle cruises, because the Bliss Cruise is happening in April, and people who want to, there are lots of play. And apparently you can play in the bathrooms everywhere. The nude ones, they're asking, where's the sex? And it's not. It's strictly nude. So they had these stories of these young swingers who were there. And I guess they had, you know, done their research or had gotten, you know, some free trips. But it turns out the young swingers are kind of taking over from, and we talked about this last week, about how they're taking over from the oldies, changing the music, and getting caught having sex in some of their bathroom stalls. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. So you have to be aware that there is a differentiation very much, you know, never the two shall meet. I'm convinced that a lot of nudists are swingers, but they really keep them separate. Just saying.
I've had to have that conversation too, because it's a fine line. Some play on both sides. Some are very much on one or the other side. And yeah, you need to make sure. Now, by nudist, do you mean this? By nudist, do you mean that? Save yourself some embarrassment.
Apparently, yeah. No, getting it on in public places on a nude thing is just like a regular cruise ship. You need to go to the really expensive. So you think $2,500 is expensive to take, you know, for the privilege of taking your clothes off, and you can only take your clothes off when you're out at sea. Out at sea, it's windy and it's cold. And I would say we're nudists, not idiots. When it's cold, you want to put that on. Because in port, you have to be dressed, and you have to be dressed for dinner.
Sure. Oh,
that's
and for dinner
too? About nudist. Oh. Oh, yeah, for dinner, too. But in terms of, but the swinger resorts, the swinger things, yes, you have to be dressed in port, but it's game on anywhere, everywhere. I know a group of people that are going on the Bliss Cruise in April. And it's what I have been told, though, is it tends to be circles around the pool. And the younger and cuter you are, you tend to be more in the center as people kind of crowd in going, you know, pick a number.
Oh, you become the swim up. Bar,
you become the swim up bar. Yeah, okay. You get it.
All right.
Yeah.
So you're a swinger.
I'm? Yeah, but it's my fault. Yeah,
she,
I get it.
She got the invite, and the invite would make that calculation.
Yeah.
All right. Foods that help you last longer.
I intend trying polyamory, and yeah, I'm reporting that to you for next week.
Let's reach out. Did you follow up with that that woman that works at the brothel in Nevada?
No.
Okay. Well, there's lots of options out there. Bum bum bum. All right, moving on to foods that help you last longer. Whenever you're ready.
Yep, foods that help you last longer. Foods. Oh, here it is. I've printed it out. It was such a long thing that I actually printed it out.
I love the backdrop.
Okay, foods that. All right.
Next up on this edition of the podcast, we're going to talk foods. Foods that will help you last longer.
Well, it's still a huge question I get as a sex therapist is, how do I last longer, Sue? What do I do? 1 in 4 guys, you know, maybe. But did you know that the average sex lasts 5.4 minutes?
Yeah, you keep right? rubbing that in.
Yeah, well, we talked about 13 being the start to finish, including foreplay. So how do you create intimacy? You have to do it all day long, that, you know, sex begins in the kitchen thing. But in terms of stamina, there was an interesting, there's certainly some interesting ideas that foods may improve your stamina over time, right? They're realizing there's a reason marathon runners carb load prior to a race. Now, there was another study that said if you take carbs, it was a French study, that you look less attractive to the opposite sex 2 hours after you've eaten complex refined carbs. However, they give you a boost in energy, right? There's complex and simple. So you want to eat potatoes, legumes, whole grains, quinoa, and brown rice. I'm not thinking quinoa before I'm having sex. I want dark chocolate. I want Ben and Jerry's ice cream. But they make us A, look less attractive, and B, but they will give you some energy. Other ones include, you know, they have different ones, things that are protein, fish, lean beef, Greek yogurt, and fat. Fatty fish, seeds, olive oils, avocados, things that you're supposed to eat anyway. Now, I haven't seen any of this actually prove to last longer. The stuff that actually works, besides really working on those Kegel exercises, beyond some of the delay creams for some guys, and it doesn't work for all of them, only the guys, it's weird, only the guys that are have, you know, that are really sensitive to cold, to pain, to hot. The ones that get ice cream headaches do really well with the desensitizing cream because it's a localized thing. Okay. Other guys need to really work on that muscle. You know, the ones who have really strong muscles, I find, you know, the athletes, the cyclists, they tend to go fast. And you'd think they'd hold back. The ones that really last longer are the porn addicts that can edge for 4 hours. But the other thing that you want to do is really control your breathing. The minute that you shallow breathe, the minute you hold your breath, you are going to come way faster. So those actually work, as well as maybe eating some flaxseed and avocado. Who knows?
Turned on.
I'm fascinated to see this topic come up because my wife introduced me to this very early on in our relationship. It is such a huge thing for her. Why pressing down on her stomach helps your sex life.
Yep. They call it, you know, a coregasm, right? Where your core is involved, because the fascia, which is basically the connective tissue under your skin, allows you to, you know, all those nerve endings in that area are all tight in together. And for a lot of women, I always say that the G-spot orgasm, or for orgasm generally, a lot of women says if they contract their stomach, like climbing a rope in gym class, they are more likely to be able to reach orgasm. But it turns out the internal pressure activates the G-spot. If you can press down on their lower stomach, it can feel really good. But any kind of massaging of the pelvic mound. Now, when I was at Desire in Cancun, there was a woman who was like notorious among like worldwide swingers who did this couple's massage. But she did what she called the yoni massage. Yoni is the Hindu word for vagina. Yep. And the whole vulva area. And she would do that over a number of hours and get women who were even having trouble to, like, oh my God, the orgasms, like couldn't feel your face kind of orgasms.
The yoni massage then, is it completely external or do you actually like penetrate?
You start externally, but then you have to buy your dinner because she's right in there.
That's
she's coming out
I
of your
thought.
Tonsils.
Okay.
Yeah. And massaging the whole pelvic mound, but especially pressing on that lower stomach. So if you have somebody who's having trouble reaching orgasm, you may want to try it. If you are feeling like you want to try something new in the bedroom and you haven't tried it, that may be an issue. Or just say, look, let's get the massage oil out. I'm just going to massage your genital area. And they're like, yeah, yeah, right. I'm like, no, I'm going to keep my pants on. And I'm going to massage that genital area for a good while. This is not a relaxing massage. You're going to fall asleep on me. No, this should ramp her up and make orgasm far more likely. Pressing down on the lower stomach and really working that area.
Like I said, this was a thing my wife introduced me to. So yes, the finger on the inside. And basically you want to push down until you can pretty much make your fingers meet. You know, there's just... And you know, she's in between.
She's tiny.
Wild.
I get more cushion for that push in there. I don't know if you can, your fingers can meet in mine, but still, it's lovely. And a lot of people really like it.
Thanks for tuning in and getting turned on with Sue and John. To get in touch, find us online at turnedonpodcast.com. Until next time, stay naughty.